So I was really debating what to do, but I figured we'll come back to Malacha, right? Like the Isser Ketzira and Zomer and all that stuff. Doreish and all that. But I want to focus on Achila, because we had started talking about it with the Shemitah stuff, and to be fair, the sugya here are much more accessible than the Malacha stuff. It's really the seventh and eighth perek. The eighth perek of Shvi'it is Achila, the seventh perek is more Kedusha, which are very intrinsically related concepts. So I don't know if we'll do seventh and eighth, or we'll do eighth and seventh. Whatever really you want. Also, I've been thinking about the sugya for a lot. It's been bothering me for months. So let's go. Fine. So what I want to do is today, I want to try to figure out, at least begin the discussion. And again, I'm not sure I have firm answers. There's certain things I've been going back and forth in my head for months on this sugya. Is what exactly is the value, the nature of eating the produce of Shemitah?
We're talking, prohibition to eat or the positive command to eat.
Well, there's no prohibition to eat,
I'm
right?
saying of like just taking all that for yourself.
No, so we're not talking about that. We're focusing on the achila part, right?
Also,
But as Josh already sees, and this is right, that is going to be connected to the malacha part, right? So really, maybe that was the better place to start. But achila, I think, again, is a much more accessible sugya. So let's start by rereading the psukim, okay? And then Josh, you can tell me. But what I want you to do is, as you read through the psukim, I want you to tell me what is the value given to the eating of the produce in these psukim, okay? Is there value given? Okay? That's what I want to do first. Fine? So let's read the psukim. You always have to start with the Torah, right? Start with the Torah. So we'll start in the main psukim, which are in Vayikra Chafei. Vaydaber Adonai Moshe Bahar Sinai Lemor. Anything about Achila yet? No, nothing. Okay, good. Daber Abnei Israel Amar Delem Ki Tavo El Haaretz Asher Ninino Tein Lachem V'Shefta Haaretz Shabbat L'Adonai. We've read these psukim many times. When you come to Israel, when you come to the land that I give you, the land shall rest a rest for God. Sure. Sheish Shad, as much as I love air, so leave a little bit for air.
You're cold. Oh, God.
Come on. Air. Sheish. It was very cold at night. It was very nice. Sheish shanim tizra sadecha. Sheish shanim tizmor karmecha. Vasafta etvata. For 6 years you shall plant. For 6 years you shall prune. And you shall gather your produce. Uvashana shvit shabbat shabbaton yel aretz. Shabbat ladonai. Sadcha lo tizra. Vecharmecha lo tizmor. So it's fiach kitzircha lo tiksor. That in vain is yirecha lo tiksor. Shnat shabbaton yelaretz. Good. And now we get to the pasuk to psukim merachim. Vayta shabbat aretz lachem leochla, and it shall be a shabbat for you to eat. Lecha ulavdecha velamatecha, for you, your servants, your maid servants. Your workers, those who dwell with you, and for the animals, the domesticated beasts, and the wild beasts in your lands, all produce shall be for eating. Okay? So right from these psukim, let's start. What I'm trying to be very general here because I don't want to bias you, right? What seems to be the nature, the value of eating produce of Shemitah based on the Pesukim? Yes, Ellie. Is there a value? Okay, that's an even prior question. Yes.
Ellie.
Wait, 1 second, Toby. Wait, so Ellie, what's the obligation? Is the obligation eating?
Before, I thought the obligation is eating, but after, I read it and I said that the eating is a conclusory tag that tells us the mitzvah is do not reap the tam, like the...
But normally you reap to eat.
The addendum indicates that these are... Do not work the land,
No. I want to what Ellie wants. Before no Mepharshim, I want to hear what Ellie wants next. What? I know, but I want to hear it now. I want to right. Okay, good. So you said
now at first I thought that first we had the mechanism as it were, and we had the means to reach such that you may wait. Then after I read further, it seems to me that first we have the prohibition, and then we have the reasoning for it.
You have the prohibition to do what?
The prohibition on the main thing is there's a prohibition on agricultural work during this year.
Okay.
And the addendum, which is our Tanakh mitzvah that we've seen, is why such that the poplars and their servants and animals and so on may eat from.
Okay. So what Ellie says is that one way of reading these psukim is that eating isn't. Right. The main point here is that it's prohibited to work and to reap and the like. Why? Because normally when you work normally, you do that in order to eat yourself, right? But here, we want you to ensure that it is eaten by everyone. It's hefker, whatever, right? So according to you, would you say that eating itself is a mitzvah?
I don't think so.
Okay, good, right? What Ellie is saying is that based on that read, le'ochla, the fact that everyone can eat it, right, is a secondary point or is a function, an outcome of the nature of the prohibition to the prohibitions to work the land. And based on that read, eating is, right, it's not, definitely not an independent mitzvah. Okay, that's Ellie's read. Okay, fine. So Josh, what does Josh want to say? What is it? Fine, Kobe, you want to push back. Okay, so Kobe says, pushes back, and he says, wait a second, cut it off from the previous pasuk, just read the words in this pasuk itself. And it says, the land is for you to eat. Right, which sounds like it's not just an oh, very good, thank you. Oh, very good, thank you. So Kobe says, well, this is going to hang on at some level is how you read v'hayta. Which is it, as Ellie reads it? Don't work the land, da 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 da, and mimela, right? If you don't express ownership and you leave it have good, da 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 da, everyone will be able to eat it, right? Or is it? Don't do this work, and the land, in a positive sense, shall, right, this is what you don't do, well, what you do. Well, right, so, but what Kobe points out, it depends the extent to which you read Vahaita as merely derivative of the first Pasuk, right? Or you say, no, right, don't work, what should you do? Eat, right? Or something like that, which...
I think that's pretty important.
Well, hold the shmod for a second. So Josh, it wants to jump in. But before you jump in, it's a good point, but not yet, right? What did you want to say about these psukim? Right now, so far what do we have? We have Kobe raising the possibility that it's an actual value, but hedging on the word of how you read Vahaita and how it's connected. Ellie is more on the side of, no, it sounds like it's an afterthought. It's a derivative of,
it doesn't
right?
Certainly concerns how other people treat, how people will be affected by your...
Correct, right? What you're saying is, right, it's not that you should eat. It's that if you don't work in a way that shows ownership, blah, 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 everyone will eat. Ellie, you wanna strengthen your position? Wait. Ellie, you wanna strengthen your position? Right? It's a very strong position. Do you wanna strengthen it? Right? What is a good piece of advice? Another textual clue here that it's just merely derivative. It's describing what will happen if you work or don't work in the proper way. Thank you, Mordechai. Right, which is that if you stop the pasuk vav, you could say it's a mitzvah. But the fact that pasuk zayin is, and the animals will eat. So unless you have a new theology in which animals are also chayav in mitzvos, right? Which we don't, right, obviously.
I mean,
No, it's okay. Mordechai, finish your thought, and then finish the thought, right?
And I think that between Shavuos and America, we don't...
No, nothing about Shavuos yet. Okay. Wait, no, Chaim. Nothing about Shavuos yet. I'll just... What?
Shabbat and
it is, right? But in the context, right? So Shabbat, we also have rest, and your animal's resting, but okay, good. So how does that shed light? We've talked a little bit about the connections. Good. So how might that shed light here? You're right. The connection is correct. Now what would it, right? Okay. Okay, would that make it a mitzvah? Or it could be what Ellie said, which is it's derivative. If you rest, right? Think about it, the Shabbat example. You can't, right? You have to allow your animals to rest. So here it might be you have to allow the land to rest, right? Or... Okay. So now Josh says, well, maybe there's a problem with saying it's a derivative, which is why would the Torah tell you it's a derivative? Okay, so someone tell me, why might the Torah tell you a derivative? Okay, so one might be it's not merely a derivative. That might not be true. That might not be true, right? So it might be that it's not merely a derivative, but it actually is indicating a certain telos to the mitzvah, right? A telos, like a, you know, teleology, right? The study of that which things aim for, right? A tama mitzvah, fine. Right? A direction, a purpose. Sorry. But there might be another reason. Come on. If you wanted to be really reductionist, right, and say, no, there's no value in eating whatsoever, so why would the Torah tell you? Because otherwise, what? You would have? No, but why would the Torah tell you, right, if there's no value in eating, why would the Torah bother telling it to you? Oh, okay, that's yet another shita, and we'll see that. Because it might be that it's really not telling you that at all. It's telling you eat la'afuki something else, meaning eating means what? No, well, not necessarily the onion, but you might have thought that you couldn't eat it. You might have thought that part of rest is that you're not allowed to eat it, right? Kamash Malan, the rest doesn't include that, right? Meaning there is a hava amina that you'd import, that you'd have meat for the whole year. I don't know. You'd save shishit for the whole year, right? You just eat sweet potatoes that were, you know, that store for a long time. I don't know, right? It's like even here now in December, right? Even if you go to the places where they sell things for Kedushat Shavuot, a lot of the carrots, a lot of the sweet potatoes are still shishit, right? Because they last forever. You just put them in storage, right? And they're not kadosh. I don't know. It doesn't use Lema'an. In Vayikra? You're in Shabbat. Okay, good. So let's leave Vayikra for a second. Let's turn to Shemot for a second, okay? What about in Shemot? In Shemot, it talks about... In Shemot, does it sound more positive? Yeah, it does, right? I mean, it sounds a little bit stronger that you're going, but who, but on who?
On the poor.
Good. So is there a mitzvah to eat?
For the poor people to eat.
Well, be careful. Is it a mitzvah for the poor to eat or a mitzvah for you to ensure that they're able to eat? Those are not the same.
It sounds like a mitzvah for the poor people to eat.
So it might be, right? Meaning, right, you could have gone either way, right? Meaning, one is to say, listen, the fact that there's a mitzvah for anyone to eat, or right, means that there's a value in eating. Or you could say, no. The point is you relinquish control such that the poor are able to eat, right? So there's definitely a mitzvah on you to relinquish control, but does that tell you that the eating itself is a mitzvah?
It sounds like there is a difference between the poor people and yourself.
Correct. For sure, that might be true.
Also, it sounds like from Shemos that it connects 6 years you should eat in a seventh year,
Sounds like you're supposed to connect the eating of the 6 year to the 7th year. Like the 6 year okay. is optional. Like eating isn't something that you need to do.
Okay. Okay, good. So Right, so if we look at this, now we can look at the Mefarshim, but let's see how far you guys got in any sources. Okay. Who, like, which possibility you want to explore first, right? Right, which, what does the majority of you seem to be, based on what you've seen so far, right? You look, did some of you look at the Mefarshim, like I said, I think you speak Mefarshim? What?
It's something permitted, but not.
Good, so presumably, majority view, it does seem to be, descriptively, not presumably, descriptively, it seems to be the majority view is that Achila is not an active mitzvah, right? What it is, we have to explore, right? But the majority view does seem to be that it's not an active mitzvah, right? Who is the one shita? We'll start with this, right? Even though this is really backwards. But who is the one shita, or I don't know if it's backwards. Who's the one shita who really seems to look at this and say, mitzvah, positive, active mitzvah? Who, right? Who seems to take that possibility? Or might take that possibility? It's not a trick question. The Ramban. Right? The Ramban seems to. Okay? So, but what I want to do is try to figure out why. Okay, let's see what the Ramban says. The person who comes the closest to saying it is an active mitzvah, that during Shemitah, it's prohibited for you to work, but it's a mitzvah for you to eat the produce, assuming you can harvest it beheter, which is something we'll have to get back to, right, is the Ramban. Now, the Ramban, so let's just do a little bit of background here. So, the Rambam wrote a Sefer HaMitzvot. What is the goal of the Sefer HaMitzvot? What is the goal of any Sefer HaMitzvot? Yeah, why are you listing mitzvot? No. I mean, sort of. Be more precise. What is the assumption of all the Sefer Monei HaMitzvot? Yeah, so why? Come on, there's more to it. Why are they counting mitzvot? What are they trying to do? If I tell you that something's a raita but not a mitzvah, so now what? Can you have things that are daraita but not mitzvah? You could have obligations that are not mitzvah. You could have things that are whatever. You could have things, right? What is the point of calling something a mitzvah? No. You can get reward for things that are not mitzvah. Nope. Nope. It's much more prosaic, right? Which is, the purpose of the Monei HaMitzvot is that, and the last off of Mako, Revi Simlai says there are 613 mitzvot. And therefore, they want to identify which are the 613 mitzvot. That's a very good question, right? Right, and the Ramban, right, the Ramban in the Shorashim raises the, in his, sorry, the Rambam writes a Sefer HaMitzvot, right? He sets out principles in the Shorashim where he says what he, criteria he used to count mitzvot. The Ramban writes critiques of the whole Sefer HaMitzvot. In his critique of the Shorashim, he notes that the truth is that the entire enterprise of Sefer HaMitzvot may be pointless because who says there are 613 mitzvot? He says maybe it's machloket. You're assuming Rabbi Simlai had some sort of misora. Maybe Rishimlai went through every machloket and called it Terakula. And what did he do? No. He like went through everything, he passed in everything, and then he went back and he counted. And he came up with 613. Right? But he says, you know how like there's a lot of things in the Gemara where there's a machloket? Mitzvah Rishut. Right? Is this obligatory or not? So does that mean that everybody, right, every time Rabbi Akiva says something is Rishut, and someone else says it's a chiyuv, that means that person now says, oh, I'm missing a mitzvah, I need to go count something else as a mitzvah, right?
Do they know?
You're really trying to kill me. You're trying to kill me. It's not like it's never true. It does sometimes happen. I did, one year in Yeshiva, I went to one of my Rebbeim's houses for Rosh Hashanah dinner, and they happened to get a pomegranate that had, they count, yes, they counted. Right? Miracle. Clearly. One pomegranate happened to have 630 mitzvah, and that is a sign of the Messiah.
I think that the pomegranate is in fact the Messiah.
Wow. Okay, fine. Chaim, you have the Makar Mishlo. Thank you. Okay. So, but basically everyone's trying to categorize, but specifically with the assumption there are 613, and it does help in terms of conceptualization and stuff, but it's not always clear why it matters whether something is counted as a mitzvah as opposed to counted as an obligation. Okay, fine. But in the end of the day, most of the Rishonim seem to work with the assumption that there is importance to knowing what the specific 613 mitzvot are. Based on that, something emerged, which was, once it was valuable, so, and it was worth doing, so what's the next step? It's worth arguing. Anything that's worth doing is worth arguing about, right? So, the earliest, basically, that we have is Bahag, right? It's Bahal Achad Gedolot. The Rambam basically wrote his Sefer Mitzvot to explain why he didn't like Bahag's count of Mitzvot. There were a bunch of things he didn't like. The first thing... Wait, one second. So one of the first things the Rambam really doesn't like about the Bahag is that he counts their Rabbanans in the 613 Mitzvot, and the Rambam really doesn't like it.
What?
Yes, the Rambam really doesn't like it. But then the Rambam wrote his whole thing to attack the Bahag, and then the Ramban said, well, I'm going to defend the Bahag. And then after he writes his defense of the Bahag, he then says, but you know what? The Rambam miscounted. So at the end of the Sefer Mitzvot of the Rambam, you have the Ramban's editions, which he calls very nicely the mitzvot sheshachachotan harav, the things that the Rambam forgot, which is a nice way of saying, you, right, that rabbi, right, the Rambam got it wrong, and this is what you forgot to add. So, by the way, this is a pattern for the Ramban. The Ramban had this thing. I don't know why, but he did. That when one rabbi would argue on a bigger rabbi from a previous generation, the Ramban would go to great lengths to defend the elder statesman. Yes, exactly. So, for example, the Balamor, right, Reb Zrachya Halevi, wrote a critique of the Rif, right? Remember the Rif, right? Reb Yisrael Fassi, like most major posek of the Sephardi world, right? Writing in the 10th century, 11th century. One second. In the thousands, so yeah, 11th century, right? In Fez, writes a halachic compendium or whatever, or summary or whatever you want to call it, of Shas. A few hundred years later, a young whippersnapper, a nice little teenager, yes, he was a teenager, named Reb Zerachya Halevi, decides that he's going to critique the Rif, and he writes the Balamor. The Ramban, who is a senior rabbinic figure at the time, says, you're kidding me, right? A teenager went and has written a systematic critique of the Rif. This cannot stand. So he wrote a book which is not at all combatively named, which is called Milchamot Hashem, the Wars of God, right? Which is, now this is amazing, because in his introduction, you know what he says? He says, why am I writing this defense of the Rif? So what's the most logical reason why he would write a defense of the Rif? Because you think, yes. He says, it's not that I think the Balamor is wrong. He's like, sometimes the Balamor can be right. It's not like I always agree with the Rif, but this is just insulting. And Torah is not like math. Torah, right, he said, Torah is not like math, and therefore there isn't one obvious right answer. There are arguments lakan to lakan, and therefore, I'm just annoyed that the Balamor attacked the Rif, so I'm going to defend the Rif, but don't think that I always agree with the Rif. It's not true. Sometimes I just don't like the fact that the Balamor... Well, exactly. So he wrote an entire commentary to defend the Rif from the Balamor. So another time that he did that was when he wrote his Peirush in the Sefer Mitzvot, which were basically just defending the Bahag from the Rambam. He was very into this. I mean, really, he takes Mesirut Nefesh. I mean, that is like serious Mesirut. More than one. It's not like one. He wrote more than one book doing this. Well, the Milchamot Hashem is a Peirush on all of Shas. Right? Just to defend the Rif from the Baal Hamor.
Right.
To be fair, there are two books that do this. Not as systematically. The Ravid was even harsher, because the Ravid seems to have disliked the Baal Hamor even more. right?
He
also lived in Provence. So that makes it worse. Where the Balamor lived. The Ramban is in Spain, right? So he's right. This is like a literary machloket. The Ravid actually, you know. Yeah. Also, whatever. They also seem to have had a personal feud, which arose about them wanting. As the story goes, they both wanted to marry the same girl, and the Ravid married her. So there was also like a personal feud going on. Right. Rilla Klintzin once pointed out that you know, sometimes rabbis write in very harsh ways, but you assume it's in the base medrash. But the Ravid and the Balamor, it seems to have been personal.
Yeah, why would
yeah, so do you know what the Ravid book is called?
You why would I have to the door to the
I don't know. But do you know what the Ravid book is called?
No.
It is called the Katuv Sham.
It is written
there. It's there. That's what it is. Literally, he just goes through. Katuv Sham, it says there, this, and this is why he's wrong. That's the entire book. That's what it's called. It's called the Katuv Sham. It's called the Katuv Sham. Yes, it's fascinating. So the Ramban, after that, writes, after he's critiqued the Rambam's critique of the Ramban, he then writes his own critique of the Rambam, and he among them are the mitzvot sheshachach otan harav. That was the Rambam forgot. Yes, I don't know, to be fair, I don't know if he actually gave it that title. I think he did. But I'm not sure. So the Ramban writes in Mitzvah Gimel, okay? She'amra Torah b'peirot shvi'it, v'itashaba ta'aretz lochem le'ochla. The Torah says, by the fruit of Shemitah, the land shall be for you a rest to eat. V'darshu, and we expound, le'ochla, to eat, v'lo l'schora, and not for,
not to do business
with. V'ze dvar Torah. This is biblical. K'mo she'amru perek batra shel avodah zarah, nimtza poreh chovo b'peirot shvi'it, v'torah omra le'ochla v'lo l'schora. As the Gemara says, if you pay back your loans with Shemitah, that's a prohibition, because le'ochla v'lo l'schora. V'chein b'mekomot rabim min ha'talmud ba'a lashon hazeh, v'nichbila zo ha'mitzvah b'amro yit'aleh v'achlu evyonei amecha. And he says, the Torah repeats this in multiple places, including when it says that the poor shall eat. Shelo amar levyonei amecha ta'azov otam. It doesn't say leave it for the poor. What does it say? The poor shall eat. Kamro b'leket v'shichcha, right? By leket, and it's not like we don't know how to do that. By leket and shichcha, right? By leket and shichcha, what's leket and shichcha? What does that say? What's leket and shichcha?
Leket is the drop stops, shichcha is the actual sprout.
Very good. And there, what do the poor do with it? Correct, but what do the poor do with it? Presumably they eat it, right? But the pasuk doesn't say they eat it, it says leave it to them. So the Ramban says, the fact that the Torah doesn't just say leave it for the poor, but says they'll eat it, seems to... It seems to be a positive valued eating of a lashon achila mazkir by makatuv. The pasuk actually says eat. Bichol makom, in all these places, vihine ha'oses chora bahem over ba'asim. So this is the Ramban. Now, if I asked you, okay, according to the Ramban, what is the status of eating? Don't tell me it's a mitzvah. That it is a mitzvah. So, but what is the status of eating? Is it a mitzvah? Is it an obligation? Is it a... What is it? What does it mean it's a mitzvah, as I say? Please be more precise. You need to be precise. To do what? What type of mitzvah, as I say? Okay, very good. So now clarify to me. Is it a mitzvah to eat it? I'm being very precise.
It's a mitzvah, as I say, to eat it as opposed to selling it.
Okay. So, well, but he calls it an aseh, right? Okay, good. Therefore, so already, Kobe and Mordechai are both like, well, it's not right, quite clear that he goes as far as saying it's a positive mitzvah, thou shalt eat, right? It's not quite what it's not obviously what he says. What does he say? You should eat it, and not, as opposed to doing other things with it. But Kobe says, wait a second, if that's what it was, that would be a... Lotase. And therefore, Kobe says, well, maybe, therefore, what he really means is?
It's a lotase, which leads to you eating it, which is... Like,
which is... right, then he calls it... Say, okay, very good. This is the problem.
I guess technically, like, can also be, like,
kind of... Okay, you understand the problem here? Is that the closest person to saying that eating is itself a positive command, like you should go and eat parents feed it, is the Ramban.
You need to have enough from the parents.
Oh, good, but the problem is, that it's not entirely clear what he means by mitzvah. Because on the one hand, he ties it, as Chazal do, to eating as opposed to doing something else, which makes it sound more like it's not quite an obligatory mitzvah to eat. It's like a mitzvah to relate to it properly, which means eating as opposed to, right? On the one hand, right, you got to put your finger on what it is. But there is a lot of language here where the Ramban is hedging.
Well, the last thing he says is over-basse, which is like, I mean, there's a lotase, not to be over-basse, so maybe that's bad.
It's very hard, right? On the other hand, right, what... So on the one hand, there's a lot of language here that pushes you to believe that even the Ramban, who comes the closest to calling it a mitzvah, doesn't quite mean it's an obligatory mitzvah, like you should go out and eat it, right? There's a lot of evidence that he's saying that, because he says it's really a function of schora. Mitzad sheni. Oh, good. Mitzad sheni, the evidence that he thinks, no, it's really a mitzvah to eat peres shviyat, is that one, it's he counts it as a mitzvah aseh, rather than, as Kobe notes, the proper formulation seemed to have been a lotase, if you think that what it meant was not it's a mitzvah to eat, but it's a mitzvah to not do schora and therefore eat, right? And the other, what's the other piece of evidence that the Ramban might really mean it's an active mitzvah, like obligatory mitzvah, go out and eat? Is his emphasis on the fact that it says la'achla and doesn't say leave it, right? Meaning, right? Right, he's saying there are other places in which it's clear that the net result will be that people will eat it, but there we don't use the word eat, which implies that there it's just a result, but not that a mitzvah itself. And here we use the word lachla, which means that eating is actually valuable. Now he does seem to make one more. He does seem to make one more fancy move, which is, well, that for sure. But he also seems to make a fancy move, which is, as Josh noted, the most clear formulation that it's a mitzvah to eat is in the context of poor people. Except what? Except, right, but in Vayikra it's talking about you, so maybe we can borrow from Shmuel Chav Gimel, where it's a mitzvah for the poor to eat, that, and there it seems to be active to eat, so you know, that might teach us something about what Lachla means in the context of Vayikra, right? He seems to be doing something like that. But you understand why even within the Ramban it's very unclear what he meant? Oh, so part of it we're going to have to figure out is, yeah, what does he mean? Meaning, is he just saying there's a value to eat, or is it saying there's a value for it not to not be eaten? Right? Right? I understand that a double negative is a positive, but not always. It's a half-hearted positive.
Right?
It's, half an hour.
Doesn't seem like
he's saying that if we're
selling it, it's an issue to say. Right, because
you're
not supposed to sell it.
Right, in that direction, right. So that the question is which came first, right? You can't do business with it, but you can eat it, or you must eat it and therefore you shouldn't be doing business, right? Which came first, right? You know, I mean.
Well, how am I doing a favor if I do
something? Oh, I didn't say a favor, right? It's what I said. Very good. So this is the problem. So the Ramban is the one who comes closest to saying that there's a positive value in eating, except it's not quite clear what he means by it, right? Right? It's not clear. And this is why, not surprisingly, there is a machloket about what the Ramban meant, right? So, look at Marit Al-Ghazi. Okay, look at Marit Al-Ghazi.
So, do they have like an agenda beforehand of what they want it to look like, and then try to.
I don't know how to answer that question. So Marit Al-Ghazi, Rabbi Yom Tov Al-Ghazi, who is, so this is, okay. There is no Masechet Chala in the Bavli, right? There is in the Mishnah and the Yerushalmi. But even though it is the Masechet in the Yerushalmi that was the most relevant Halacha L'maaseh in Chutz Laretz. Why? because it's the one of the mitzvot which is sort of Talui Baretz, which is not Talui Baretz. Challah applies everywhere in the world. Therefore, many of the Rishonim wrote Perushim on it, including the Ramban. The Ramban wrote a Hilchot Challah. The Marid Al-Ghazi, Kobe, where are you with my... Right, so... What years?
1777.
There you go. Okay, so Amir al-Ghazi writes a commentary on the Ramban's Hilchot Challah, and this is... Correct. And Amir al-Ghazi is often considered a proto-Brisker. Like, because the methodology that would eventually become associated with Brisk, you find... Amir al-Ghazi seems to be going that direction already. Like, his writing style is more explicitly... systematically dialectic, analytic, in a way. Again, I don't really know what these terms mean, like proto-Brisker, but okay, sometimes when people talk of proto-Briskers, the people who use that... No, I mean, that term is pretty jargony to begin with, which I don't like jargon, but the people who use the jargon of proto-Brisker, right, often Mar al-Ghazi gets in that group. Mar al-Ghazi, Minchas Chinuch. What? Okay. So Amir al-Ghazi writes a parish on the Ramban Chalon. He writes, "Hine lefi ha'amur d'sfir le'rabin Ramban zal d'ha d'la'ach lav lo'zchara olo l'sreifa hu mitzvat aseh." He said, what the Ramban means is, it's a mitzvat aseh. What does he mean by mitzvat aseh? She'chayev ha'katuv le'achol perot shvi'it. That the Torah obligated you to eat. So which side of the equation does he seem to put the emphasis? Right? On the positive, right? Which is, you are obligated to eat. Since you're obligated to eat, you shouldn't do other things. Right? So he seems to take the Ramban as saying that, despite all our hesitations and equivocations and whatever, okay, fine. But despite all that, he seems to really think that, according to the Ramban, there is a mitzvah to eat it. But now he goes farther. How do you know that Marid al-Ghazi really, really seems to think the Ramban thinks it's a mitzvah achila, like actively? You should go and eat it. So what, the Marid al-Ghazi has a nafkamina, right? What's his nafkamina? Yes! He says, well, we know what a mitzvah achila looks like. What do mitzvah achila look like in Kol HaTorah Kula? How much do you have to eat? A kizayit. And therefore, if you say it's a mitzvah achila, then that means there is a shear, right? There is an amount.
Less than mitzvah achila on the fruit, in which case you eat every single fruit.
Well, so don't get too fancy on me yet, but there are certain models in halacha which are not mitzvot of the gavra to eat it, but the heftza to be eaten, to use Brisker jargon, right? Yes, I hate it, right? But do seem to be certain things where there's a mitzvah not to eat it, but that it, to ensure that it is eaten, right? But that's not what he seems to hold here, right? He thinks that when the Ramban says mitzvah achila, he means pshuto kimashma'o. There is an obligatory mitzvah for you to go out, take your kedushat shvi'it, banana, and eat it. Okay? Yes, and eat it, right? So like, we have, and go, eat it. So at the moment, I know in my house I have kedushat shvi'it bananas, right? Therefore, it's a mitzvah when I get home to take a banana and eat it. And eat a kizayit of it, right? What? Oh, I thought you said, do I eat a banana? Oh, so yeah, no, I do. So I do have to eat three bananas at home. Of course. Wait, I don't need the peels. No, you're right. As we're going to see, you're not allowed to eat things that are not normally eaten, and you have to eat the things that are normally eaten, right? Correct. Oh, we're going to get to Skara. We're going to get to Skara. We're not there yet. But that's not what he says.
You have to, like, matzah or, like, whatever other things we have to eat in the exams. You don't have to eat in the exams to be in the
Okay, who says that? Who? Now, okay. So Kobe is a very good... Kobe says, wait a second. That's very nice. I mean, it does seem to be what he's saying. Like, those do seem to be the words coming out of his mouth. But Kobe says, that's a very problematic svara, because, like, you know, Pesach, you must eat excited matzah. It's not like right now I tell people, you must have a healthy breakfast. You must have perishable vegetables and do not have that sugar cereal with it, you know, which is, you know, not food, right? Don't eat that stuff, right? Like, you must, right? It's not, doesn't sound like it's a mitzvah achila like other mitzvah achila that we know, right? But if you just read the Maharid Al Ghazi, right?
Well, he also says that it's a yes or not to waste it.
Well, I mean, I understand, right? Maharal Ghazi, despite all the million hesitations we have in terms of the language, in terms of the formulations, in terms of the problem, which is we don't, like, force you to go and have bananas, right? Like, if one of you says, but I don't like bananas, right? We don't, like, say, too bad, right? Too bad. Eat your banana, right? Right? We don't do that, right? All that combined means you think, like, really? Like, it's a mitzvah? Like, a chiyuv? Like, what are you, really? Like, in what way is it a mitzvah? So, many people note this, right? Right? He goes on about this, right? Right? But if it's less than a kizayit, you don't fulfill the mitzvah. K'moshu b'shar mitzvah aseh. D'achila, k'aseh d'achila l'matzah v'chayotzeh. Right now, then he has certain questions on this, which will come, right, what we can come back to, right? But fundamentally, the Maharal Ghazi seems to believe that... Right? Now, there's many problems to this, right? Now, there are two directions you can go. One is to say, because of all these problems, that's why most people don't agree with the Ramban, right? Or you could say, it's so problematic, I can't even believe the Ramban ever said it. Right? Right? So if you look, for example, look at the Megillat Esther. So look at the Megillat Esther. Megillat Esther is, so if you want to follow, or if you're keeping track here, the Bahag wrote a Sefer HaMitzvot. The Rambam argued the Sefer HaMitzvot of the Bahag. The Ramban defends the Bahag, right? Megillat Esther defends the Rambam from the Ramban, who's criticizing the Rambam, right? Okay? So the Megillat Esther is a parish in the Sefer HaMitzvot of the Rambam, whose main goal is to defend the Rambam from the Ramban, who in turn defending Bahag from the Rambam. Okay? Correct. And the Ramban doesn't necessarily agree with the Bahag. Correct. The Ramban will sometimes in his parish in the Torah say the opposite and actually go like the Rambam. But will attack the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvot because what his point is, but the Bahag isn't obviously wrong. I do agree with the Rambam, but not because... Yes, exactly. So yes, the Ramban doesn't necessarily agree with the Rambam. He's defending the Bahag from the Rambam. Miguel Nesser is defending the Rambam. The critics of the Ramban that are really meant to defend the Bahag. Yes. Yes, it does. Right? So the Miguel Esther, who's Miguel Esther? Yeah, you know, who is he? Who wrote it? Yes, I know. It's your designated job, yeah? Really? There is? Wow, I had no idea. So you have to write Megillat Esther, right? Sefer HaMitzvot Rambam. On the Rambam. I had no idea. Thank you, Kobe. I'll have to check out that book. He definitely does. And if Wikipedia doesn't, then Wikipedia does. If you don't use Megillat Esther Sefer HaMitzvot, if it's not on, let's see, Rav Yitzchak Leon, Rav Yitzchak Bar Elazar Ibn Sur Leon, who Michaya Michachmei Italia, he's Italian. Okay, his years are Rav Yitzchak Bar Eliezer Ibn Sur Leo. Okay, that's great. Okay, I'll be honest, I should have looked that up before, but I didn't know that. He's, yeah. Yeah. If you look on Svaria, on the Megillat Esther, it gives you a little bit. Zman Chibur is 1495 to 1545. Okay? Fine, anyways. So Megillat Esther writes, so remember, again, if we're keeping track, the Ramban is defending the Rambam, is defending Bahag from the Rambam, and the Megillat Esther is defending the Rambam from the Ramban. Got it? So he says, Nir Ali, it seems to me, Kimasha Lomina Aha Rav. Why did the Rav, who's the Rav? The Rambam. Why did the Rambam not count it as a mitzvah like the Ramban did? He said, Lefi Masha Darshu Kamlach Lavaloskara, Ain Gurushosha Mitzvah Bachilatam. He says, when they say eat it but don't do business, they don't mean you have to eat it. What do they mean? Rak Lachla Heter Lachem. He's saying, don't do business, but you're allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to do this. And by the way, in case you thought you weren't allowed to eat it, you are allowed to eat it. Right? V'lola zedin schora, v'ra'aya. How do I know that it's not a mitzvah? She'ein ba'achilata mitzvah. Mimash she'aninu b'perek chet v'shvi'it. Shvi'it nina l'achia shtia v'sicha. V'lo gamar shvi'it mitzvah ba'achilah she'a. So the Mishnah, perek chet Mishnah bet, is going to say that shvi'it, it's very careful, says nitna l'achila, is given for eating and anointing. But what does it not say? Mitzvah. It's given for this purpose, but not obligatory. And he says, Va'al tishtabesh. What's tishtabesh? Right. Or in modern Hebrew. What's it's modern also. Don't be confused. Don't make, right? Tishtabesh is to get confused, messed up. Correct. Don't be confused by what it says in the Yerushalmi, that Ketzad le'achol davar she'le'achol ein mechayvim enoto lo lo'achol pach yisha. The Yerushalmi uses a very suggestive language, and we're going to see this when we get to Chet Bet, which is, we don't obligate you to eat rotten meat, or rotten bread, rather. Right? What does that imply? To eat rotting bread or moldy bread, which implies that if it wasn't moldy, right? He says, which you might imply that only things that are messed up, right? Don't say, but things that are spoiled, I don't have to eat, which implies that things that are not, I do have to eat. Ze'eno, that's not right. Why? Why do we say you don't have to eat it? You might have thought that why do you have to eat that? Not because it's a mitzvah to eat, because it's problematic to destroy them. Leman lo yisudu, right? That we don't want them to go to waste, right? It's a negative problem, right? We don't want it to go to waste. By Shemitah. There's an added problem. Shatora Amr Lachlav Lalev said, Kamash Malan, it's telling you, Shaino Chayav Lachlam, Me'achar Shaino Rim Lachila. You don't have to eat them to prevent their loss because they're not edible. This is going back to the peel thing that Eli brought up. Uviotamru, Yim Shita Ke'en Chayav, Gam Ke'en Lachlam, Shere Ein Kan, Shah Shema Yitzum Achim Tovim. Vizesh Amar Ochi Mitzvah Mimash Amar Adora Behem Schora Over Baasei. And then he says, that was the Ramban said, that it's a mitzvah in the sense that if you do business with it, you violate Asei. You can't have a lav above Michal Asei Shu Asei. So maybe you say it's a lav which comes from Asei, which is Asei. Kfar Peirash Mitzvah Kodemet Lezua Peirosh Zem Amar Bechol Makom Enitzach Lechavlo. I already explained it. Varaya. And the proof, he says, Shehedi Baal Zohar HaRakia, right, the Rashbats, which I actually put this on the sheet for you, that the Taj Bates, yes, in his Sefer Zohar HaRakia, so, you know, hold that for a second, right? So the Megillat Esther says, because of all these problems, that's why the Rambam doesn't count it. What does he seem to think about the Rambam, though? That he does, right? Meaning, he says that it's very hard to say that it's an actual active mitzvah, and that's why the Rambam doesn't count it. But by implication, he does seem to think that the Ramban does. Right? Meaning he's not trying to say the Ramban never holds it. He's saying he never held it. He's saying that the reason the Rambam doesn't hold this is because it's really hard to justify that position that I'm ascribing to the Ramban. Similar to the Maharal Ghazi. Right? If you look at the sheet that I gave you, right? Right? The Makar I gave you, look at the right, the Zohar Akia, and again, we'll look at his proof in a minute, but you know what? Let's look at his proof, okay? Let's skip down to it. Look at number 8. Before that. Look at number 3, okay? The Mishnah says, Me'ematai ochlan perot ha'ilan b'shvi'it. When do you eat? From when are you allowed to start eating fruit during Shemitah? Ha'pagim mishi azrichu ochel b'hem pito basadeh b'chlu konos l'doch b'ito. So you're only allowed to eat it when they start to ripen. Right, you're not allowed to eat unripe fruit during Shemitah. Why? So that's what Rashi says. So if you look at 9, Rashi says, Pagei Shvi'it, right, unripe te'inim, right, te'inim shalu bishlu kol tzorchan, Rachman amar, v'ayta shabar arat lochem, lochla, lochla, v'lolev said, the Torah says you eat it and you don't destroy it. Right? Now, he's commenting on the Gemara in 8, where the Gemara says, in a very interesting context, the Gemara says as follows, David amar, Al yichtav surchanish namar ashrei nasi pesha kisui chata. Mashal the Moshe of David ma davar dom. Eh? The shtein hashem shalakon mebe... Sorry, I left that one line. The Torah says, why is it by Moshe, the Torah goes out of its way to tell you his sin? What was Moshe's sin? Hitting the rock and not being behind the shem shamayim, right? And David didn't want his sin plastered everywhere. So the Gemara says it's very simple. Here's the mashal. The Shtei Nashim Shalakum Beitin. There were two women who sinned and were beaten in Beitin. Achat Kilkala, one was involved in like sexual impropriety. Va'achat Achla Pagishviyad, one ate unripe Shemitah produce. Amrlan Otan Sha'achla Pagishviyad, the one who ate unripe produce, what did she say? Bivakashami Kem, I beg you. Hodiu Almahi Loka. Tell everybody why I'm being punished. So that no one will say, oh, just like that woman was involved in sexual impropriety and she was beaten it, so too this woman was, right? What does she say? Listen, I'd rather people know, right, what I did so they don't think it's worse than it is. Right? Now, so that's what they did. So then the Gemara says, though, they hung unripe fruit on her neck, right? So that it was very clear what her sin was. Now, based on this Gemara, right, the Zohar Rakia, the Rashi in 10, says, what do you mean? Why is it usher to eat unripe fruit? What does it mean, l'achav alav said? So he says, HaRamban hasif mitzvah cheret vazeh. The Ramban ate a mitzvah. He ha'achil l'peirot shvi'it. There's a positive mitzvah to eat fruit of Shemitah. So what does that mean? So one thing, we saw the Maharal Ghazi thinks it's really a mitzvah, and therefore he said, there's a shear. What's the shear? Kezayim. But now the Zohar Rakia says there's another implication to it being a positive mitzvah, which is you have to eat it right, meaning you have to eat it in the normal way it's eaten, right? So he says, "Mi'amro vayta shavar zochem le'achla v'chein matzati anisad lezeh." What's the support to the Ramban? The Gemara in Yoma, because it says, "Va'abra mashagadav le'achla ve'ein zu achila." That simply by eating it unripe, she's actually eating it. So why is it a sin? Because you need to eat it in the right way, in a way that's normally considered eating. So the Zohar Rakia also says, aha! What does that show? There's a positive mitzvah to eat it. Right? So we see that several shittos, the Zohar Rakia within the Ramban, the Maharal Ghazi within the Ramban, seemingly the Megillat Esther within the Ramban, think that the mitzvah is to eat it. But as we saw, there's 100 reasons to think that it's not a mitzvah in that sense, right? First of all, you don't have to eat it. Second of all, it sounds like more of a heter, right? All types of problems. Therefore, there are some who, as I said, take this as proof that it's not a mitzvah. But some go even farther and they say not only is it not a mitzvah, but it's so obviously not a mitzvah in that sense that the Ramban never said it. No, not the Rambam. The Ramban. Right? Miguel Esther is saying the Ramban really does believe it's a mitzvah. He's just wrong. But some people look at it and say, no, no, no. This is so obviously not a mitzvah in that sense. Like, you are obligated to eat it because there's so many problems.
But there are verses that say that you're not obligated to eat it. It's situational. It's
oh, okay, so therefore what? Oh, so okay, well, I knew.
In a situation where you don't really like the fruits, you don't really, you're not obligated to do it.
Comparing to all other mitzvahs on our field, so.
Good. So some people believe that it's so obviously not a mitzvah feel in that sense that they think the Ramban never meant it. So what do they think the Ramban meant then? So look quickly. We'll come back to it. But look at the Chazon Ish, for example, right at the bottom here. Right, the Chazon Ish says, "Ein mechayven oto lechol lo pachiv." So we don't make you eat the rotting bread, the moldy bread, right? Lechora ein chiyuv leolam lechol pirot shvi. There is never an obligation to actively eat it. Right? She'enan kishlamim, she'en mitzvah achilan. It's not like a carbon shlamim that you have to eat it. Elan mirad, the retzim omrim, the chayven, the chashva, the mayachal adam, the rashay, the achilu kvantor. It just means, as we'll come back to this, in the Yerushalmi, you're allowed to feed it to animals. You don't have to make sure people eat it. Fine. Then look where the arrow is. He says, mazgad l'el, dey mitzvah lechol peir tshvi. Re'iti, v'sei rogan evra'am, v'sei zavad asin ashalah. Ramban asikimol sheperish dar Ramban yitvuch mizeh. He said there are some people who think. Shem Miguel Esther. I'm not going to Ramban. He said there are some people who think that the Ramban thought, right, that it was a mitzvah. Right, the Miguel Esther thought that the Ramban thought that it was a mitzvah. He says no. He said not only do I not paskin that way, I don't believe anyone, including the Ramban, ever said it. And therefore he says aval kavana the Ramban the isur schora hu biminin asin. He said no. Watch what's Chazon Ish. This was Kobe's problem before. It is a positive mitzvah to ensure that Shemitah produce is used for purposes that are not business. That's how it's an asay. Okay? That's how he solves it. It's not, the Ramban doesn't think it's a mitzvah to eat. He thinks it's a mitzvah to ensure that it is used for purposes which are not. Now, I know that sounds like a negative, but no, it is not a negative. Exactly. He says, Kimvor bitvarav, aval ein asei b'achivatan, the eino tzorech rayot, she'ish mitvachalan, v'loya masfik, v'manzim isher skorot, v'skorin, mavlat achivatan, v'lukeach yochlem, she'ein mitvachalatan, v'lo shayach l'machashva l'asei, right, he said, you can't possibly think that it is an asei, and therefore, it is has to be that the Ramban thought it is a mitzvah to say to ensure that it is used for proper purposes and not schara. That is what it means, right? But nobody, Kolel and the Ramban, ever thought that it is an active mitzvah to go out and eat it. Similarly, if you look at Rabbi Chiel Yaakov Weinberg, the Sfidei Eish, right, who was in like Eastern Europe and then eventually Germany, I think, and then moved to Switzerland, right, and died there, I think, in the 70s. He says, look at the top of the left-hand column. He says, right, lefi ani da'ati, it seems to me, ein shum mitzvat achila b'perot shvi'it, v'lo matzinu mitzvah yirshal cher b'shvi'it b'chol ha'shas. There is no mitzvah shmita produce. We did not find such a mitzvah anywhere in Shas. V'haramban shemana achilat perot shvi'it b'minyan ha'mitzvot. I, the Ramban, right, doesn't the Ramban hold to the mitzvah? What does he say? It is a positive derived from a negative, derived from a positive, or something like that, right? No, I added there. Right? Meaning, don't destroy it. It's, you have a positive mitzvah to not destroy it, right? For the Chazon Ish, it's more about just business. But it doesn't mean there's a mitzvah to eat it. Mokacha mutruma. And therefore, obviously, he says, Marid Al Ghazi is wrong. There can't be a shear in how much you eat it. It's really about not wasting it. Okay. I need like 5 minutes before I start tefillah. So tomorrow we're going to see two more. I gave you Vazner and the Derech Emunah who both push back on the radical understanding of the Ramban that it's a positive mitzvah, right? And then I want to figure out, okay, so let's say it's not a mitzvah, Right? Let's say we don't take the mitzvah. Then it's not a positive mitzvah to eat it. So then what is it? We've seen a few formulations, but mostly in terms of what the Ramban did not mean. Right? What I want to do is say, okay, well, what is it? Right? What is the value? And that's, again, what I've given you. And then we're going to come back to the issue of, well, what way is it connected to the Yisr Shkora? What way is it connected to the work? Right? As Ellie pointed out correctly in the beginning. And we're going to see several formulations within it. Hopefully we'll finish this tomorrow. I hope. Right? But this introduction will get us really into the seventh, but really the eighth parak of Shvi'ah. Okay? Let's go ahead, guys.